Romans chapter 4, verse 11 is our text. Give heed to the word of God. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith that he had while being uncircumcised, so that he might be the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be credited to them also. And the father of circumcision to those who are not of the circumcision only, who also walk in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham, which he had while still being uncircumcised. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. This morning, we're going to consider this one section of Psalm of Romans 4:11. This portion where it says, "And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith that he had." That will be the text that we'll be considering this morning. Today, brethren, with the Lord's help, I will focus them on the word sign and seal as found in our text before us regarding the sacraments. Briefly a recap on where we have been that has led us to this point, to the sacraments. I began the series with the need that mankind has of a savior. That need that every single human being is born in sin, and their nature is corrupted by sin. That in Adam, our federal representative, every human being through Adam and because of Adam is born into the obligations of the covenant of works. And in order to escape the wrath of God, they must live a perfect life according to his standard from the moment they are conceived. However, humanity cannot achieve this since they are conceived with Adam's first sin, known as original sin. We are born in original sin, yet we are born with the obligation to keep the covenant of works perfectly. Seeing then, that humanity cannot achieve this, God entered into a covenant of redemption amongst the three persons of the Trinity in order to provide redemption for an elect people. Our Lord Jesus Christ then enters into a covenant of grace with the elect to be the second Adam and to live in their place a perfect life, fulfilling the obligations of the covenant of works, to become the perfect sacrificial lamb of God in order to atone for the sins of the elect and to be an appeasing or propitiatory sacrifice for the elect. His blood and death then bring salvation to all who believe in Jesus Christ. He then resurrected from the dead, ensuring that his finished work as a sacrifice to God for man is a guaranteed atonement for all who believe in him. And this covenant of grace was administered throughout the ages in various dispensations in order for his people to know how to interact with God on his covenantal terms. In the various administrations of the covenant of grace, we saw from the scriptures how God signs and seals these covenants, and that we who profess faith in Jesus Christ as our alone Savior and in his promises are to participate in these signs and seals. And this brings us to the sacraments. As my two previous sermons on the three covenants and the covenant of grace were just a bird's eye view of the forest, today's sermon also will be a bird's eye view of the forest, so to speak, without getting into the details of the sacraments. we'll begin to get into the details, into the forest, to see the trees up close, beginning next week, if the Lord wills. The Lord Jesus Christ has given his New Testament church two and only two sacraments. In the Old Testament, there are also only two sacraments given. I will confine the exposition of the text to the following doctrines and their usage. First, we're going to define the word sacrament. Second, how many are there in the Old and New Testament, going into the specifics? And thirdly, their use and benefit. So let us begin with, what is a sacrament? This is very important to define, as many parts of the Christian church have confused ideas or definitions on what a sacrament is. To begin with, the actual word sacrament, just like the word Trinity, is nowhere to be found in the Word of God. Nowhere. In fact, the word sacrament is derived directly from the Latin sacramentum. Children, do you know what the capital of California is? What is the capital of California? Children, have you learned that one? Your states and capitals. Yes, the capital of California is Sacramento, which is the Spanish word for our English word sacrament. Sacramento is derived from Latin. So what does sacrament mean? Well, it comes from military usage from among the Roman army. It was the most intense oath or covenant that a soldier could swear. It was a swearing that soldiers took to be faithful in all things and that the general ordered, and to uphold all commands of their general, and to be bound to him and to their legion unto death. To break this bond by desertion or acts of cowardice meant either severe punishment or execution. How then did this come to be used by the church? Well, the other meaning of the word sacrament means to consecrate oneself or to be initiated into. The sacrament was an initiation where one consecrates oneself to whoever they are pledging their allegiance to. The early Latin church adopted this word when translating the Greek word mysterion, which is where we get our English word mystery. Why did they do that? Well, to use the words of our Genevan reformer, Francis Turretin, who stated the following: the sacraments are really signs of a secret thing or of invisible grace, which have a hidden signification and commend themselves most especially with a latent mystery, end quote. You see, the words for that surround baptism and the Lord's Supper have that Greek word mysterion. And sacrament was used to translate that Greek into Latin. All of the above bears out when one does a study on the actual sacraments in the Word of God. However, Romans 4:11, our text, gives us a one-line simple definition. Children, listen up. The word sacrament, according to Romans 4:11, means the following: the signs and seals of the grace of God in Christ. Simple definition. Again, children, what does sacrament mean in the one-line definition? The signs and seals of the grace of God in Christ. That definition given by the Apostle Paul means that the person receiving signs and seals are part of the covenant of grace, which means that they are members of the visible and local church, which means that they have professed Jesus Christ as their Savior. Congregation, have you made profession of faith to Christ? If so, have you then joined yourself to the local body? Allow me to give a fuller definition of the word sacrament for those who are more theologically inclined. From the Westminster Larger Catechism, what is a sacrament? Answer: a sacrament is an holy ordinance instituted by Christ in his church to signify, seal, and exhibit unto those that are within the covenant of grace the benefits of his mediation, to strengthen and increase their faith and all other graces, to oblige them to obedience, to testify and cherish their love and communion one with another, and to distinguish them from those that are without, meaning outside of the church. Every single phrase and thought and response given by the larger catechism is found in the Word of God. In fact, if you recall from the last two sermons and the Old Testament and New Testament scripture readings so far, you will recall then that all of these phrases were already treated and actually opened up to us. Congregation, when you make profession of faith in Christ, then you enter into the covenant of grace. However, in order to signify this union, you are to seal this covenant entry with participation in the sacraments. First, by baptism, and then by the covenant meal, as the previous sermons intimated, and as I will more exposit today and in the coming weeks. The only way to do so, to participate in these sacraments, is to enter into covenant membership with the local body of Christ. Why? Well, there are many reasons, but in this instance, one of the reasons to become part of the local body of Christ is in order to receive the sacraments, beginning with baptism, if you have not been baptized before. It is important to note here three things regarding the definition of sacraments. First, the biblical definition of a sacrament is totally different and is in opposition with the definition given by the Roman Catholic Church. Their view of sacraments is that these are works that help, not promise, the partaker to achieve eternal life. This is totally against the gospel, as the Word of God proclaims. Second, the aversion to the word sacrament by our Baptist and other non-Reformed brethren have is unwarranted. Their fear that the word is too popish or Roman Catholic is an unfounded fear. Let me show you how. You see, the Roman Catholics externally believe in and recite the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, and the Creed of Chalcedon. Baptists and others do as well, whether they do it in worship or outside of worship. But because they feared or don't like the word sacrament because it's too popish, then possibly they should leave off these creeds, right? How about the word Trinity? Again, not found in the Word of God. The Roman Catholics use it. So do Baptists. So there should be no hesitation by our Baptist and non-Reformed brethren in using the word sacrament. But what happens is that the Baptists and others substitute the word sacrament with the word ordinance. And ordinance in the Word of God just means rule or law. And by using the word ordinance, the full effect, the full force of the word sacraments is lost. Thirdly, The historic and confessional definition of sacrament is not to be confused with, nor is it equal to the meaning or definition that the federal vision heresy provides and gives. Those who hold to federal vision pour a different meaning to the word sacrament while deceptively trying to say it fits with the Westminster definition, where the Westminster Larger Catechism says, quote, to oblige them to obedience, end quote, which I also stated in last week's sermon, they change to mean that partaking in the sacraments are necessary in order to remain in a covenant of grace. They say that the sacraments will aid in their perpetual justification and keep them saved. In doing this, they redefine justification by faith alone in the way they redefine the use of the sacraments, and they come very close to the Roman Catholic meaning. All Christians need to avoid the belief given to the sacraments that the Roman Catholic Church gives and that the promoters of federal vision give. You see, to hold these views consistently will lead to another gospel and to perdition. This leads to the second teaching that is found in Romans 4:11. How many sacraments are there? The Reformed churches have always professed that the Bible teaches that in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, there have always been two sacraments. In the Old Testament, there was male circumcision and the Passover. Our text, Romans 4:11, tells us already this truth regarding circumcision. It says, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith that he had while being uncircumcised. Genesis 17:11 then tells us, quote, you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you, end quote. Romans 4 continues with that same set of logic and understanding. The Passover was a sacramental meal representing Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 tells us, for even Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. It is significant that it was immediately following the celebration of the Passover that the Lord's Supper was instituted by Christ himself, one sacrament being replaced by the other. Which leads then again, how many sacraments are there in the New Testament? You see, circumcision and the Passover were abrogated in the New Testament and replaced by baptism and the Lord's Supper. Baptism is seen as a sacrament at very minimum, as initiatory and as a mysterious union. Let me give you two examples. Then Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, from Matthew 28, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. And then Galatians 3:27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We see the initiatory and the mysterious union with Christ. Regarding the Lord's Supper, we find the sacrament instituted in Matthew 26, 26 and 27, where Christ said the following, or when Matthew first tells us, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take and eat, this is my body. He then took the cup, and after he gave thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. So we see baptism and the Lord's Supper as union with God, as signs and seals of this union, which will bear out even more. Just as circumcision was a sacrament that was applied to any who entered into the covenant of grace, whether by birth, of being of the household, or by entering into it later in life, as we read in Genesis 17, so is baptism the same in the New Testament, as we see everywhere, beginning Matthew 28 and throughout the book of Acts. Baptism, following faith, just like circumcision, following faith, is to be applied not to the one, just the one professing the faith, but to his household. Just as we saw in Genesis 17, it is an initiatory sacrament of a sign that you are now part of the household of faith. The Passover representing Christ, the lamb that was killed, whose blood was then placed on a doorpost of one's home to keep out God's wrath. And then the lamb's body being burned to be eaten, representing God's wrath poured out onto the lamb. So then the Lord's Supper represents all of this in Christ, the reality of what the Passover signified, as we have just read. And I will dig deeper over the coming weeks, Lord willing. So then, the Word of God teaches that there are only two sacraments, brothers and sisters. We are to reject the five additional sacraments that the Roman Catholic Church has invented. You see, the Bible never teaches that marriage is a sacrament. It is a covenant, not a sacrament. It is a covenant between one man and one woman, as Malachi 2:14 teaches. It is not a sacrament. Becoming a priest, well, first, there are no separate priesthoods in the New Testament church, so there goes the priesthood of the Roman Catholic Church. Second, the office of pastors and elders are set apart by ordination, but that is an act of laying the hands of being separated apart. It is not a sacrament. And the remaining three sacraments, I'm not even going to bother to mention, are pure inventions of works righteousness that will not grant you any hope of salvation. They are mere inventions of man without any biblical backing. Coming then to our third point, their use and benefit. Romans 4:11 calls them a sign and a seal. A sign and seal of what? Of believing in the gospel, which then leads to being in the covenant of grace. And I need to reiterate this over and over, brothers and sisters. There's so much confusion today. It is of having faith in the covenant promises. When we partake in them, we engage in a solemn manner that we belong to the Lord, and we swear to stand by him and as his servants and soldiers to fight under his banner. You see, it is a covenant that we make with our Lord when we partake of the sacraments. Abraham, having already believed and his faith being accounted to him as righteousness, therefore being justified by faith alone, then received the sign of the reality that his faith proclaimed, namely, being in the covenant, circumcision being an initiatory rite. Again, Genesis 17:11 says this: you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you, which Romans 4:11 repeats. And not just for him, but for his children and his household. Exodus 12:48 teaches us that in order to be able to partake of the Passover, in order for any To partake of the Passover, the male participant had to first have been circumcised. Exodus 12:48 says the following. Now, when a stranger sojourns with you and keeps the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as one that is born in the land. However, no uncircumcised person shall eat of it. Brethren, do we not see then the initiation here of circumcision that then grants access to the Passover? See, the Passover was a sacrament, a covenantal meal that not only those already in the covenant could partake of. You see, only those in a covenant could come to the Passover. But to be in the covenant, you had to be circumcised if you were a male. And not just you, but your household, as we just read. Being in a covenant meant having the sign of circumcision. Notice, again, his household had to be circumcised. In the New Testament, we see the Passover replaced by the Lord's Supper as a covenantal meal, where one needs to discern that they are the Lord's. 1 Corinthians 11, 27 through 29 says the following. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Brothers and sisters, in order to partake of the Lord's Supper, you first have to have been baptized, because Matthew 28 tells us this: be baptized if you believe. And then you can come and partake of the Lord's Supper, but only if you can understand and discern the Lord's body and blood, understanding what the elements signify, then you can come to the Lord's table. You see, a sign then is something that points to reality. Just like a street sign that has a picture of a person crossing the street tells the driver that the reality of a crosswalk is soon coming up and you need to be alert for pedestrians. So then these sacraments are signs of the reality they mean to represent. Brothers and sisters, the reason the Christian church does not have pictures and images plastered all over the walls or standing in a meeting place is because our Lord Jesus Christ has already given us two pictures of the gospel, namely baptism and the Lord's Supper. These two elements are all the drama we need in worship. Going further then, baptism is an initiatory sign of the reality that, one, we are visible members of the covenant of grace and so of the church. And secondly, that those that profess faith and are baptized have been washed of our sins by the blood of Christ, and the Holy Spirit resides in us. Acts 2:38 says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Forgiveness and receiving the Spirit. Again, our text in Romans 4:11 speaks of the sign of righteousness like Abraham had, which was then applied to his children, all who were born in his household, and all those already residing in his household. 1 Corinthians 10, which we read today, verse 16 and 17 and then 21, again indicates the sign of the Lord's Supper as being in Christ, where we read, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. You cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. Brethren, when we participate in the Lord's Supper, we are signifying, it is a sign of what Christ did for you. His body was broken for you. His blood was poured out for you. And so when the Lord's Supper is being administered, we see the drama. We see the picture of Christ, his body broken as we break the bread, broken for you. We see his blood being poured out from the cross. When we see the wine poured out, his blood being shed for you. The 18th century Presbyterian pastor John Wilson defines seals this way. They are seals in that they ratify and confirm his people's right to all the blessings and promises of the covenant, and likewise their engagements to new obedience, end quote. This definition of his reflects the larger catechism and briefly exposits that portion of Romans 4:11, that the sacraments are a seal of the righteousness of faith and of our walking in the steps of faith of our father Abraham, as we read in Romans 4:12, where he says, but who also walk in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham, which he had while still being uncircumcised. And once he was circumcised, he was still under the obligation to be obedient to all that the Lord had revealed to him and commanded him. Much more can be said. And I will continue to unpack these significations, Lord willing, over the course of the next several weeks. Brothers and sisters, see then that these sacraments are for all of you that have placed faith in Jesus Christ to be your righteousness. These are a right for you, brothers and sisters who are in Christ. They are a sign of the covenant that you partake in and a seal of the promises by God that these promises are to you and to your children. Therefore, when you partake in them, do so by faith that the reality that they signify is truly being applied to you. In particular, union and communion in Christ by and through the Holy Spirit. Partaking of these sacraments is indeed similar to that military definition that I provided earlier, a covenant renewal, an oath of obedience to our master, the captain of our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, to partake in the sacraments then is to pledge yourself anew to Christ. The sacraments are given to strengthen and to increase your faith and all other graces given to us from the treasure house of Christ. Why would you not want to take this treasure that Christ is given to you? If you are in Christ, they belong to you. They are yours by right. And the Lord offers this treasure to you to be in union and communion with him. And yet they are also to spur us onto obedience to Christ, to testify of our love to Christ and to his church. We should never despise them as Christians, but receive them with great joy. Therefore, if you are here and have made profession of faith, but have not joined the church, you place yourself and your family in a dangerous place, and that you have cut off yourself from the covenant of grace. Brothers and sisters, partaking in the sacraments is not a choice. It is a command. The only way to receive them is to be a member of the local body of Christ. For only a minister of the gospel is authorized by Christ himself to administer the sacraments. To be part of the local body, then you need to enter by covenant membership. Again, recall in previous sermons that the chief and primary hermeneutic of the scriptures is that of covenant theology, because God deals with man through covenanting. We see covenanting between men, between peoples, and between nations in the scriptures. We do see it. It is there. Great benefits in partaking of the sacraments, and a Christian robs himself of so many, great many of them. He cheats himself of it and then lives in disobedience to Christ by purposely refraining from the sacraments, all due to their sinful stubbornness in remaining apart. We have read and we have sang not to be stubborn like many of those of Israel who were stubborn and stiff-necked, not willing to recognize God and his blessings, and they were struck down. All of them had been circumcised, by the way, but they chose to be stiff-necked, to not be like them, brethren. And if you are here and have not professed faith in Christ, you cannot hope to have any fellowship with God. You cannot hope to have peace with God, or to even have communion with God until you believe in Jesus Christ to be your only hope of righteousness. Then you will be showered with the richness of Christ, which includes the receiving and partaking in the sacraments which he has given to his church for the building up and perfecting of his people. So if you want to have peace with Christ, if you want to have peace with God, believe in Jesus Christ for the salvation of your sins. Put aside your works righteousness. Come to Christ and you shall be saved.